we got the bomb, and that was good, because we love peace and motherhood. Then Russia got the bomb, but that's okay, because the balance of power is maintained that way. Who's next? France got the bomb, but don't you grieve, because they are on our side, I believe. China got the bomb, but have no fears, they can't wipe us out for at least 5 years. Who's next? Then Indonesia claimed that they were gonna get one any day. South Africa wants two, that's right, one for the black and one for the white. Who's next? Egypt's gonna get one too, just to use on you know who. So Israel's getting tense, wants one in self-defense. The Lord's our shepherd, says the psalm, but just in case, we better get a bomb. Who's the next? A Luxembourg is next to go, and who knows, maybe Monaco. We'll try to stay serene and calm when Alabama gets the bomb. Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Who's next?
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Axis Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. Coming up next, fighting the tar sands pipeline. Aaron Wheatley has been involved in the resistance to Kinder Morgan's proposed Trans Mountain tar sands pipeline at hashtag Burnaby Mountain. Burnaby Mountain is about 11 miles east of Vancouver, Canada. Aaron talks about the events, Indigenous resistance, and the many reasons people oppose the project. Aaron was interviewed by Dan Keller.
My name is Dan Keller, and we are now moving into the feature portion of our broadcast. Today's feature is an interview with Aaron Wheatley, who has been involved in the resistance to Kinder Morgan's proposed Trans Mountain tar sands pipeline at Burnaby Mountain. Aaron gives a timeline of events, centers Indigenous resistance, and connects the many reasons people oppose the pipeline, as well as speaking about the next steps in the opposition to the pipeline. Could you introduce yourself and tell us what has been happening on Burnaby Mountain in the past few months, especially the more recent direct actions as Kinder Morgan's Trans Mountain Pipeline survey crews started to work?
Sure. My name's Aaron Wheatley, and I'm a visitor here, the unceded territories of the Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Musqueam peoples. And in the past few months, since August of this year, there's been a presence on Burnaby Mountain of a group of residents who came to call themselves the Burnaby Mountain Caretakers, who were camping and staying on the mountains to block Kinder Morgan's Trans Mountain Pipeline survey work. Since that camp happened in August, it began and more people started to be, initially it was a small group, and then Kinder Morgan's survey crews tried to come in a few times. They were stopped by caretakers and supporters who were really standing in opposition to the Kinder Morgan pipeline, most specifically that the Kinder Morgan does not have consent from the Indigenous people whose territory they are proposing to go through. And so the terminus of the pipeline, which already exists, they're proposing to triple it. The Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, and Musqueam peoples have not consented to this pipeline. The community of Burnaby, where the tanker terminal is located, is over 70% of the community is also in opposition to this pipeline. And so there's been growing opposition to this project across the route, but the most recent flashpoint has been here in Coast Salish territory.
It's been over 100 arrests went down over the past couple weeks after an injunction was granted. A tree sit was set up and cops moved in, taking things down. I guess that's when all the arrests started. Could you tell us about what happened at that time and why are so many people opposed to this project?
So the first part of your question, what happened at the time? So basically, after months of Kinder Morgan's survey work being stopped, they filed an injunction and a $5.6 million civil suit against five Burnaby residents, including a couple folks who were involved with the blockade, who are caretakers, and then also also some Simon Fraser University professors, and then also specifically naming and suing a other resident group called Burnaby Residents Opposing Kinder Morgan Expansion. The BC Supreme Court granted Kinder Morgan this injunction, which allowed them to basically move forward on their work for testing the, basically drilling down 250 meters at a few different sites to test whether or not they can bore a tunnel through the mountain for the proposed pipeline expansion. This modified route is actually an example of how opposed the community is to this pipeline. Kinder Morgan is now proposing to drill through a mountain as opposed to needing to go through residents' yards or other parts of Burnaby, because the opposition to this project is so great. What happened after the injunction was granted, there was an increased presence on the mountain, more and more people coming out to support, coming from a lot of different political positions, too. The Caretakers really foundational, anti-oppressive, indigenous solidarity at the heart of what the work that they're doing. And then you're getting other groups coming in, too. There's a lot of just general community opposition to the project. So really a huge amount of opposition and a huge number of people coming from different political positions, different analysis, who are all opposing to this project. So the day that the injunction was basically granted, there was a weekend where before the injunction would go into effect, and the day that the injunction was going into effect, a mass rally was called. About 800 people showed up to the mountain. There was an increased RCMP presence, and it became clear that the RCMP were not going to enforce the injunction at that time. So from that point onward, it was really about keeping up that momentum, making sure that there was a continued presence on the mountain, and a lot of effort going into getting folks up there, to making sure that the caretakers were being supported, to making sure that the keepers of the sacred fire were being supported, and that the coming back to the issues of the fact that this pipeline is on unceded territory and there has not been consent for this pipeline. Other reasons why people are opposed to this project is it's a tar sands pipeline. So something that's happened in the last few weeks, it's become really, really focused on what's happening in Coast Salish territory and very, very narrowly focused. But when we talk about the tar sands and we talk about why people are opposed to the tar sands, we're talking about the largest industrial project on Earth, the largest single growing source of greenhouse gas emissions in Canada. We're talking about treaty violations and the increasing connections being made to the struggle on the ground in Alberta, where most specifically Indigenous people are being affected first and worst by this slow industrial genocide that is the tar sands. And if you look at where the tar sands are going, the majority of the tar sands are being exported to the United States. Canada is the largest single source of oil for the U.S., and the largest single purchaser of oil in the world is the U.S. military. So it's actually stipulated in U.S. energy policy that the tar sands is a specific like asset that they're interested in protecting, and they're interested in having more access to that. So when you talk about climate change, if you're looking at it from a climate change angle, if you're looking at it from the slow industrial genocide and continued attack on the Indigenous people of Turtle Island and their way of life, and then you're also looking at fueling the military-industrial complex, it's really everything is attached to why people are opposed to tar sand, whether it's protecting the coasts from devastating oil spills, or it's protecting rights and responsibilities and title of Indigenous peoples on Turtle Island.
Thanks for really laying out the interconnectedness there, and how and why the tar sands are being developed, and why people are opposed to this project. I mean, it's this pipeline, this Trans Mountain pipeline that's being fought, but it's also other pipelines right across North America and right at the source, fighting to stop the tar sands expansion and the project overall, one way or another. Now, there were over 100 arrests that were undertaken by the RCMP for people that were breaking the injunction. I'm not sure if all of them, but I've read nearly all of them have been thrown out of court. What's next? What's Kinder Morgan doing next? What were the results of these protests? And where are people going to continue the fight?
103 people were arrested. The majority of those were detained. The majority of those people, 96 people, were charged with civil contempt, and those charges were thrown out because Kinder Morgan had actually given the incorrect GPS coordinates. So the judge threw those charges out. Other people who were arrested, a couple people had charges that there were no evidence for, so those charges were dropped, and then a couple people who were arrested were not charged because they were either very young or were older or for other political reasons. Not everyone who was arrested was charged, and the majority of those charges were dropped. I think it's also important to note that there has been a lot of media around how a lot of those arrests were symbolic, but some of those arrests, I think it's important to note, were very violent, aggressive arrests on the part of the RCMP, and that they were also very specifically the treatment of people. So the folks who spent the longest time in jail were the caretaker who was up in the tree sit. He held that tree sit for 5 days, and he was held overnight. There was also Sutluck, who is one of who started the Sacred Fire. She was held overnight, and then some of the other more targeted and violent arrests were of Indigenous men and of men of color. So I think that's also a part of the story that really, I think, the mainstream media has initially was showing the aggression of the RCMP, and then as the nature of a lot of the arrests that were taking place shifted, that focus shifted away from how the RCMP were actually functioning as private security for Kinder Morgan, and that in this case is a very, very striking example of the increased collusion between the state and the oil industry, and that the police are upholding that relationship. So I think as far as next steps, I think Kinder Morgan seems to me that they were a bit rattled by the extent of the protest and the extent of the opposition and the extent of the resistance to this project. I don't think that they were really prepared for mass civil disobedience, and I think that they're sort of now shifting to trying to be more on like the charm offensive. They've really been pushing this idea of they want to be respected, and they've been having workshops and they've been having conversations with people for years about this project, and they have, but those conversations that they have been having should not be considered consultation, especially not consultation with Indigenous peoples. And then there's also the issue of they are having these conversations, and at every single level where they're having these conversations, people are saying no. Whether they're talking to First Nations in Coast Salish territory, the answer is no. There is also a letter that was just released by 12 nations saying that the NEB process around the Kinder Morgan project does not count as consultation. And when you go to municipal governments, the Burmese government is opposed to this project. The mayor is very vocally opposed to the project. The federal government level, the local MP, who's an NDP MP, he's opposed to this project. The municipal government of Vancouver is opposed to this project. So it's really, really across the board, the opposition, and I think that Kinder Morgan is very concerned about that, because it's very challenging for them, even when they have millions and millions of dollars, to be able to try and convince people otherwise, when in every space that I've been in, there is an overwhelming community opposition to this project in this area. So I think that a lot of positive things are happening coming out of the mobilizations on Burnaby Mountain. Unfortunately, we weren't able to stop Kinder Morgan's work. We were able to delay it, we were able to slow it down, but they got the testing done that they wanted to get done. So I think that it's, in some ways, it's important to celebrate our success, but I think it's a little bit, I wouldn't call it necessarily a victory. I'm excited about the relationships that are being built and the collective power, I think, that can be built off of this type of mobilization, where moving forward, there is going to be a lot more resistance and there is going to be a lot more resilience when it comes to opposition to this project and opposition to other industrial projects in unceded territory in BC.
And it was inspirational to be watching what was going on over in Coast Salish territories, the resistance to this pipeline, and the huge numbers of people that were coming out on a daily basis, residents coming out to fight this pipeline. It's good to see, sitting in Ontario, we're fighting, have our own pipeline issues with Line 9 and Energy East pipelines, and to see hundreds and hundreds of people out on a day-in, day-out basis was really good and gives me hope for what can happen here in Ontario as well. Anything else you'd like to add, or any way we can get information about the Burnaby Mountain protests? Because the camp is continuing. I'm seeing there's still calls out for support and people are still at the site. So how can people stay informed about this?
The best way to stay informed so far has been the Facebook page, Burnaby Mountain Updates. That's been where a lot of the information has been centralized in the past couple of weeks. There is a couple other Facebook pages that are being updated regularly. As far as what's going to happen next, I think the next couple of weeks that's really going to start to take shape. I think that there's a lot of conversations that are going to need to happen around next steps. There is still definitely a presence on the mountain. The caretakers are still holding space, and they're also taking on doing a series of workshops designed to share skills and raise issues and build connections. So workshops on horizontal organizing, on decolonization and anti-oppression, and then also having a community assembly. So really, that's, I think, is the next step, and I think is something that I'm hopeful is going to be happening more. That's something that I've seen happening more and more, working on resistance to tar sands in Coast Salish territory and then also in other parts of Turtle Island, that there is more and more of these connections that are being built from Alberta to the terminus of these pipelines, whether it is Enbridge Northern Gateway or Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain or TransCanada Energy East or the Keystone XL pipeline or the many other proposed pipelines that are for tar sands or other oil and gas pipelines, that resistance is growing, and it's really, really amazing to see. And I think that the grassroots are a force to be reckoned with. It's costing the oil and gas industry billions of dollars, and it's interesting because I think that more mainstream media and more mainstream people and more NGOs and other organizations are really starting to recognize the power of the grassroots, and also I would say that the power of the leadership of First Nations in opposition to the tar sand and associated projects.
Great. Thank you very much for your time today.
I can remember how it started. I followed the firemen. I dreamed of the astronauts. They looked so happy in their shiny metal headgear. I knew that inside they were smiling. My mother feared I was abnormal. I'd take out the colander and put it on my head. People are happy when they know that they're protected. Just let me tell you why I'm smiling.
I've got my helmet on. Nothing can do me wrong. I've got my helmet on.
In shining rows they sit in every beauty parlor. Down in the coal mines lighting the way. From distant battlefields to the tiniest motor scooter, there is peace on every single face. My friends all tell me I'm retreating, but how can they argue with true serenity? If they would only try just once to wear a helmet, the world would soon be a better place.
Come try my helmet on, nothing will do you wrong. Come try my helmet on.
In shining rows they sit in every beauty parlor. Serenity on every face.
Come try my helmet on. Nothing will do you wrong. Come try my helmet on. Come try my helmet on. Nothing will do you wrong. Come try my helmet on.
All you need is love. is all you need. Love 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 is all you need.
That's all, folks.